Listening to African Perspectives on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and Black Talk Radio Network AfricanPerspectives.com. African Perspectives, where we talk about the issues of our day from an African worldview, an African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak. Having been granted permission, to our ancestors whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters and friends, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. So I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is always an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who is living, and everyone who will live in the future. We have a common ancestral root. We sashay. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were other cultures as well, such as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to classical civilizations of Africa. We sashay. We pour this libation to contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, great civilizations that were flourishing while Europe was still in a medieval or dark age. So we pour this libation to those contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, uprooted out of Africa, laying a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. They are now in North America, Central America, South America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to brothers and sisters who suffered the Holocaust of enslavement, of captivity. We do not know their names, but because of them, we are here. So we honor them and their sacrifice. We say Ashe. We pour libation to those men and women who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you'll know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a slave want to do? It wants to get free. There's over 400 recorded revolts of our people fighting on the continent, throughout the Middle Passage, and this hemisphere. We resisted. We were not slaves. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master, and we haven't and we will never submit. So we give honor and reverence to those men and women who fought. Denmark Vesey, Gabriel Prosser, Harriet Tubman, Nat Turner, and many, many others. We honor them. We respect them for always standing and fighting for the liberation of our people. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good community life because we don't have good family life. Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is bad because we lack consciousness. Consciousness is more than just awareness. It's a deeper understanding of who you are culturally, historically, and the necessity to come together to produce family, which is produces good community life. So he poured his libation to the spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. We say Ashe. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Good morning, African world. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. I hope you had a chance yesterday and today to do all the things you want to do, need to do, have to, should do, better do, must do. And I hope that the weather is accommodating for you to do it. But if it isn't, you will get it done. You will, because that's the kind of brother and sister that you are. You are listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. On the right side, scroll down till you see the red, black, and green lion with Africa imposed on it. Click on that, and then you can have access to the archives. And they're all titled and dated, thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. So African Perspectives, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. On Mondays, Green Acres. This is our lineup here on Time for an Awakening. On Mondays, Green Acres. Acres of Green Acres. Acres of Diamonds. I know people are laughing at that one. Acres of Diamonds. Acres of Diamonds. Is Public Affairs out of Philadelphia from 6 to 8. Right after that, it's Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And then on Tuesday evening, last night, from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. Wednesday, today, this evening, Proof of Consciousness with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, with her program, Revive, from 8 to 10 p.m., Revive. I regret to say this, but Us Lifting Us is not going to be broadcasting any longer here on Time for an Awakening. Us Lifting Us has gone back to Blog Talk Radio for the time being. I hope they will return again. I will continue to announce Us Lifting Us, particularly because I'm a member, a serious member, and believe in what Us Lifting Us is about and what we're doing. In fact, the Ulu Cafe, Cafe Ulu, is in existence and it is going strong. It is located 2036 Sylvan Road in Atlanta in Sylvan Shopping Center, Sylvan Plaza. It's open. The cafe opens from Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. and on Saturday and Sunday from 8 to 5 p.m. And we serve coffee from Cameroon, from Tanzania, from Kenya, from Ethiopia, from Brazil, from Panama. We serve coffee and loose teas and homemade pastries. Almost everything that we sell, I'm almost sure that everything that we do sell at Cafe Ulu is American, African, or African produced. So check us out. Check us out online at Cafe Ulu, CafeUlu.com. Also check out Us Lifting Us, usliftingus.com. And unfortunately, it will not be broadcasting. I'm hurt by that, but hey, we move on. On Fridays, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern time, it's time for an awakening. It's time for an awakening, brothers and sisters, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, 8 p.m. until. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore. On Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., no, it is not me, it is Sister POC with Revive, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday. And then Sunday evening, once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. And I hope that you will listen to those programs. If you can't listen live, you can go to the archives. Here's some announcements. Of course, I'm announcing Black American African-owned businesses. WeBuyBlack.com. Go to WeBuyBlack.com for the largest online market of American African-owned businesses. WeBuyBlack.com. Also, too, this past weekend, I attended a conference, the 21st Century Survival Conference with Ashwa Kwesi, Baba Baruti, and Irritated Genie, and picked up Masha Kwesi, the Kemet New Tours. Kemet New Tours. Go online to Kemet New Tours, KEMETNU.com. Kemet New Tours. He has a tour coming this summer to Kemet, a 15-day tour. He doesn't give a price in there, but I'm quite sure. Then he also has a trip to Ethiopia in the winter, a winter tour in early January of next year, late December, early January, late December this year, early January next year. So check out Kemet Tours. Also, to the Irritated Genie, SaveBlackChildren.com. Go to Save Black Children. It's a documentary from Straight Black Pride. SaveBlackChildren.com. And it's the Straight Black Pride movement. Abakasan Sumsum, Mama Marimba Ani, Abakasan Sumsum will take place here in Atlanta. Well, actually, it's in Lithia Springs, Georgia, at the Sweetwater State Park, May 12th. May 12th, Saturday, May 12th. The theme this year is Building Quilombos, From War Camp to African Sovereignty, Raising Up the Spirit of Dr. John Henry Clark. That's what Abakasan Sumsum means, raising up the warrior spirit of Dr. John Henry Clark. And, of course, Quilombos are those places of refuge for our people that we build, particularly when you there's a movie, Colombo, about the brothers and sisters who beat back the Portuguese and established these Colombos, Brother Zimbi of Palmares. So you can check out, go to YouTube, and maybe it might be on there, Quilombos, K-I-L-O-M-B-O-S, Colombos, Building Quilombos, From War Camp to African Sovereignty. We have a good program coming on today. We have some good folks. And here's, of course, is my co-host, Brother Frank. How are you?
Doing fine, Brother Rashid. How are you doing today?
I am doing fine. I'm doing well. I'm doing well. There is a subject. We're going to talk about menticide, but first of all, I'm going to talk about, and I got Brother Paul on, I believe, from the UK, and a friend. Brother Paul, is that you?
No, it's my brother Paul, it's Lone Wolf.
Hey, how you doing? Okay.
How you doing, my brothers? I'm really grateful.
Well, thank you.
To be going on the airwaves.
Well, thank you very much for calling in and to be a part of this conversation. We appreciate it very much. Brother Paul, is that you?
Yes, it is me, sir. Thank you for taking on this call. And Brother Ochi, you know, unbelievably, you're doing an absolutely outstanding job. And I don't think you really realize, well, the immense work or this the importance of you reaching out across the pond to the UK. You know, I spoke with a gentleman earlier on from Jamaica who's part of an organization which is trying to determine the use of ganja, you know, for medicinal purposes. And leading the Rastafarian organization, I had this conversation via a radio station over here, and I put out on that we'd be speaking to you. So this link is not only in America, in London, but also Jamaica and around the Caribbean and reverberating around the world. So congratulations to you for bringing this to the world platform. And this is what we must do. We must link anywhere we are on the planet and communicate and prove to ourselves that we can outsmart our adversaries.
And you're right. And we got to use whatever technology, whatever means possible, that we have to do this, because that's what our, you know, people say our people perish for lack of knowledge and information. Although I don't believe that knowledge and information is power, because we've had knowledge and information and still we have no power. You know, I think power is the ability to define reality. So once you gain knowledge and information, then you decide to be independent. You decide to be self-determining. You decide to be liberated. You decide to be sovereign based upon that information and knowledge of your history and putting all that into context. I'm going to play something. The reason why it's called my co-host, Brother Frank, is that I came across a piece on Windrush, the Windrush generation, and I was struck by it. And so I reached out to Paul to have them come on to talk about this. This is when some brothers and sisters assisted the UK in World War One and Two, and they've been living in the UK, and now they're threatening to deport them. Here is the one of the common council persons, Lemmy, speaking to the members of Parliament. Let me see if I can make this happen.
Okay.
And I hope that I can.
The first British ships arrived in the Caribbean in 1623. And despite slavery, despite colonization, 25,000 Caribbeans served in the First World War and Second World War alongside British troops. When my parents and their generation arrived in this country under the Nationality Act of 1948, they arrived here as British citizens. It is inhumane and cruel for so many of that Windrush generation to have suffered so long in this condition, and for the Secretary of State only to have made a statement today on this issue. Can she explain how many have been deported? She suggested earlier that she would ask the High Commissioners. It is her department that has deported them. She should know the number. Can she tell the House how many have been detained as prisoners in their own country? Can she tell the House how many have been denied health under the National Health Service? How many have denied pensions? How many have lost their job? This is a day of national shame, and it has come about because of a hostile environment policy that was begun under her Prime Minister. Let us call it as it is. If you lay down with dogs, you get fleas, and that is what has happened with this far-right rhetoric in this country. Can she apologise properly? Can she explain how quickly this team will act to ensure that the thousands of British men and women denied their rights in this country under her watch in the Home Office are satisfied?
That was a piece from that I got off the net.
I have a request because really clear. I'm actually one of the British brothers.
I'm sorry. I'm getting a lot of feedback here.
I was hoping one of the brothers from the past will give us a little summary of what we just heard. The clarity of what we just heard.
Brother Paul or the other gentleman, can you give us some clarity on what we just tried to listen to? I apologize about that.
Let me just... There's a lot of interference on the line. I don't know where it's coming from, but I'll do my best. I'll just give a brief introduction and I'll pass it over to Lone Wolf, because he's really the expert in relation to the Windrush study and this gentleman. His name is David Lammy. I'm quite familiar with him in two ways. In one, he's a public figure, and secondly, I actually know him personally, because he's the government representative of the area in which my mum's family grew up in. And my grandmother's still in that area, and I'm quite familiar with the work he does. So I'll pass you over to Lone Wolf, and he'll explain the rest. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. Brother Lone Wolf, good morning.
Good morning, my brothers, and good morning to all my family out over in the States, and good morning to everybody that's starting
to wake up to the work we need to do. We have a little interference on the line. I don't know if you can hear me.
I know, I can hear you, but we do have a lot of interference.
Yeah, I'm really sorry about that. I'm trying to hit a window, see if we can get some air around here.
Okay, that sounds a lot better. Continue on, please.
Right. What I'll do is, first of all, I'm no great expert. It's just that I used to sit with the old people and my mother, who was actually a part of the Windrush generation. But my mother was part of the generation that would hold her own roots, while a lot of the Windrush generation went to integrate. Now, I'd like to tell you the figures on the Windrush integration. England says there is 50,000 people that came from the Caribbean at that particular time. Now, if you calculate 50,000 people sending for two children.
Yes? Hold on, Lone Wolf. We got a lot of.
The figure,
hold on.
If you calculate it properly.
Hold on,
that
Lone
there
Wolf.
There was no more than 75,000 yes? Caribbean people and their children that were sent for during the Windrush period and after the Windrush period. Now, if you do the calculation, 70 years has passed since the Windrush. Yes? Now, our calculation is that there is a third of the older generation that came with the Windrush. They went back home. They worked for the transport areas, the NHS, which is the hospitals and that. Yes, they worked for... The government, in fact, because the government asked them to come over. Now, if you calculate, a third of them went home, yes, and there is a majority of them that passed away. So when you calculate the children, there is only no more than 25,000 to 30,000 children that are left from the Windrush generation here. Now, these figures, what I'm quoting here, the government are fooling our people. The Windrush generation were called to come over here because England did not want to clean up its backyard after its war with its first cousin Hitler. Now, if you do the research here, the Queen of England was related to most of the dukes and the barons of Germany. Now, they had a war with their cousins. They had to call for African troops coming from the Congo, coming from Ghana. They had to call for Caribbean troops. But then troops were not dealt with in the right particular way. America at that particular time, before the war, World War II started, America was planning. Now, if you can listen to me real clear, and if you can really try and take this in, people in America, because the documents were released 3 years ago. America was planning to have secession on British Columbia, which was Canada. America was planning to go to war with its first cousin, England, before the Second World War broke out. The plans were laid there, and the reason what America was going to go to war with England over is because England controlled an empire from India all the way down to Indonesia. Now, they were getting the goods from these countries here free of charge. America was a country that was starting its economic climb. And you can ask yourself, why did not America enter the Second World War until 2 years passed? And when they entered it on the lease-len deal. And also, tied to the lease-len deal was the empire had to be broken up. Now, my brother, once the empire is broken up, because England had no ships to go around the empire to secure it, America can come in and they put the Coca-Cola mentality in Africa, the KFC mentality in the Caribbean. So there's an effect now on our children in England today. So that's a little touch of the Windrush situation. The Commonwealth situation... it is a club, a gentleman's club.
that was formed properly in 1948, but has been running from 16-something. Now, that gentleman's club does not, it doesn't involve us, my friend. It involves the people that wash money. Because in the Caribbean states, there are a lot of places that they call British dependencies, but people don't pay no taxes. People, they register ships there. They do banking there where they don't pay nothing. And this is on our lands. So we have many, many issues, my friend. And that's just a little piece of history about secession of British Columbia, the Second World War, and also the Windrush generation. It is all connected. My brother, I will give you time.
Thank you so much, Brother Lone Wolf. Let me get my co-host back in, Brother Frank Jones.
Yeah. I thank you, brother, for that information. Pretty informative, what's going on. I think that's why it shows that it's really important that we are connecting. You know, brother, so if you're in the U.S., brother's in the U.K., and I'm wondering if it's outside interference we're having is caused by someone else deliberately. You know what I'm saying?
You know it is, my brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But be that as it is, we need to get this information out. I know when I saw it the other day, that's why I had to reach out to Paul, because I wanted to know clearly, you know, I understand how European countries now, because of their situation, they're limiting immigration. Now, of course, they're the ones who, because of colonization, caused these problems, and that not just because of colonization in its infancy or in its beginning, but because of the interference that they still maintain in many of these countries, causing all of the conflicts. And so therefore now, because of what they've done, they don't want immigrants. They don't want nobody coming into the country. The whole Brexit thing, I believe, was the Brexit about immigration, Brother Lone Wolf or Brother Paul?
The Brexit thing was actually straight up white supremacy done by politicians, yes, that were of the right-wing nature, who mm-hmm. rubbed shoulders with Sir Donald Trump,
mm-hmm.
yes? So yeah. It was out and out racism through and through. They first started on the Eastern Europeans, which is their cousins from the Baltic states, yes? Their cousins from the Caucasus Mountains they started on first, yes? Mm-hmm. Knowing that there will be a repercussion where it will trickle down to the color of a man's skin. Boris Johnson knew it, David Cameron knew it, Theresa May was the prime suspect in turning around when she was Home Secretary and stating it plain and straight. From 2012, she's going to make it an intolerable place for immigrants. And when you say intolerable, she meant it. Every person had to show their birth certificate. Every person had to go and run and show their passport. When you was working, they will pull up people and say, listen, you're filling out this new form here. Go bring your passport, yes? I, who is born in England, I am born in 64 Telford Road, 1964, yes? Anywhere I go to go and apply for something, they're telling me, where's your passport? And I'm telling them, hold on, I'm born up the road. Why should a man have to show his passport? Then they turn around and say, well, you can't have nothing until you go and get your birth certificate. Now, are we in South Africa in the 60s where people will say, Kaffa, where's your card? Because that's what we're going back to.
Yeah.
Kaffa, where is your card? So I'm going to have to dig out and show him my pass, saying I'm allowed in London. My friend, London will burn before that happens.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah, and my children are suffering because their mothers came over in the 1999s. They had children that they brought over here to help the schools, to help feed the children in the schools, to help run lollipop crossings, helping our own people. And you know what? Them people there now are going to be divided from the Windrush children's generation. So they're going to divide and rule, and people from the children of the Windrush generation will be pointing fingers. They're not Windrush. I am. That's another division. Theresa May knew what she was doing, and the worst thing, the 12 Caribbean leaders, listen to me clearly, my friend, they set the bar so low. They set the bar so low that if they would have demanded for an amnesty for their people up until 2020, they would have got it. But our Caribbean leaders, and listen to me, my friend, before the three man-made hurricanes that licked off in the Caribbean earlier on in the year, 12 days before that hurricane licked, all 12 of the Caribbean leaders was in Westminster in a back room for 8 hours. They didn't tell people that they were there for 8 hours. That means people from Bermuda, all of the 12 Caribbean islands were sitting in a room 12 days before the man-made hurricane, with 3 hurricanes in one, which wiped out lots of the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to tell me that them 12 who were sitting in the room 12 days before the hurricane Nick, they never knew what was going to happen?
Yeah.
What was that discussion, do you believe?
Their discussion was about what money they could get for their own, not for their people, yet for maybe their own families. Their discussions was, at the end of the day, when this Brexit thing happens, are they going to be all right? Because our leaders in the Caribbean, listen to me clearly, my friend, they are colonialized.
Yes, yes.
The Caribbean universities, I think there's many of them, I think there's 6 of them, they're all called the University of the West Indies, yeah? They're being paid by Americans to actually give them the topics. Yes?
Yes.
The curriculum that is actually served out to the Caribbean people is a colonial curriculum.
Yes, it is.
And I used to be a teacher for 12, 10 years.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a colonial curriculum what they're sending them out, so we're getting Caribbean people trying to represent people that really and truly are not them.
Yeah.
We had the Bermuda. No, it's a St. Kitts president came on television, my friend. He came on television yesterday, my friend, and he was an embarrassment to every African. And I will call him Afrikaant, yes? Because he cannot do nothing for us.
Yes.
He looked a shambles. He was smiling. You can see he just finished had watermelon. He had chicken and watermelon. His belly was big. Yes? His thigh was to the left. His belly was to the right. His suit never fitted him. Yes? He had a piece of pork in his neck back, yeah? And he smiled like, boy. He smiled to the camera like it was nothing. Because his belly's full. His children would be coming to England to go to school.
Yeah.
And when they finish their schooling in England, you know what their children will be doing? Going back to the Caribbean, yeah, and bleeding it dry like
right.
a vampire.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I will give you space, son. I still got a lot more to say, but I'll give you more space.
No,
Brother
Lone
Wolf, thank you. Go ahead, Brother Frank.
I said, enjoy listening. You know, it's also heartbreaking when we're talking to brothers from the other side of the pond, and we're hearing that same racism that they're dealing with, exactly the same thing we're dealing with. It seems every place where we are living among those Caucasians, it is the same system of oppression, racism, and they create these laws and these narratives and they impose them upon us. That's been their system forever. They would create these laws that serve their racist agendas and they impose them upon us. And behind these laws, upon these policies, are hidden racist agenda. And that's what's been experienced over there right now. They're trying to deport these people because they're trying to keep the country white. They're trying to bring down a number of black people in the country.
My brother, yeah. Do you know how long they've been deporting people to all, mostly to Jamaica, but to the rest of the Caribbean islands, one? But there was a stage a year and a half ago where we were looking on the YouTube, yeah, because we were getting told that look on the YouTube, you'll see how much people that will land on the airport with plastic bags, yeah? And for 3 days, me and my wife, who is a patriot, who is a Jamaican patriot, who would die for that country there. And we saw people on the airport with plastic bags, yeah? 200 at a time they were dipping, yeah? And you know the worst thing? There was 4 Nigerians in there that didn't know what they didn't know that there wasn't Jamaican. So they didn't know what to do with them. So I'm saying that they're grabbing everybody and throwing them inside the pan and they all have to go home. You're hearing of late that the children in England are killing each other. I'm sure you've been hearing that up there.
But see, what you see, what we must understand.
You've been heard about the violence and the knife crime in England, because before this Windrush thing, the whole media focus was on black-on-black knife crime.
Sure. Black-on-black knife.
They're banging it out hard to degrade us at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how they always do that. They always use the media to degrade us, yeah.
That's right, but they're not telling you how much young African boys have actually turned mad inside institutions or have been killed inside the penal system. And it's a lot more than has been knifed out in the road. They are covering up something, and our children are suffering.
You know, I think we have to come to grips with European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, which is a global phenomenon. And at this stage in time, it has taken the shape of police state, deep state, whatever it has to do to maintain its position of dominance and control, it will do. And of course, Britain, I think, just as Paul said it before, is the brains. America is the military arm. And both Britain and America are global. We have a caller from the from Jamaica, from Kingston, Jamaica. 876, caller, go ahead.
Blessing my beloved brother. This is Ras Oshing, calling from the great sunny island here in the Caribbean. I've been listening to our brother. I believe that is Brother Paul that is engaged from London, UK.
Yes,
am I correct?
Yes, brother. Brother Oshing, it's a beautiful day. And I have to acknowledge again, this connection is absolutely what the ancestors are calling for. So, Brother Oshing, thank you for being a man of your word.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it, man.
Well, my beloved, we, the true African black men, we are men, man of our words. And once we engage with the right energy, our fellow African, we will always engage with the right energy. That is why it was so important for us to come up to the UK after spending my educational years up there and realizing the impact that the diaspora has in their respective region, particularly America. America has a long history of their connection to the Caribbean people from the underground railway that many were smuggled out of the South up to Canada. So we have a very, very, our connection is unbelievable. It's historical. The people from the Jamaican region, the Caribbean region, has impacted on the development of the American continent of what it is today, less than 150 years old of so-called civilization. We have impacted to making that country a very wealthy, powerful nation because of what the enslavement of our people in the deep South all over America. So we are very, very historically linked, bodily linked, bloodly linked, and we've all been through the same atrocities. Look for an example of what's happening in America. For so many years, what the black Africans being enslaved, creating the economy for the American. Look at the treatment and the psychological damage to the American blacks that currently exist, where a nigger is only a nigger that doesn't worth a price of a sugar. But all these things, my beloved, came in from the enslavement, the atrocities that has been towards the American African enslaved. So America, by its own history, is a perfect example of this so-called supreme white that brought himself and declared himself to be superior, and the black man is less than three-thirds of a human being.
That's right.
So all these things of the 21st century, although we know it was fueled from the European plantocracy, it was American legislation that brought out these racist Jacobean laws. So we are very, very, very cognizant of the role that the American government have successively played from Abraham Lincoln. Right, when he's free the slave and he's being honored, did you give the slave any land to create any provision while you was giving immigrants from all over the world free land in all of the America and taking the American incarnated Indians property?
He gave them Jim Crow law. He gave them Jim Crow law.
That's right.
Right, America is a perfect example of the European Jacobians coming together, creating the great state of America that has completely undermined the United Nations, because the United Nations, as His Majesty told them in its formation, as you know, His Imperial Majesty Emperor Haile Selassie is the only world leader that addressed the League of Nations and the United Nations. And the League of Nations, as you see then, was members of European Confederate States that under Mussolini and the Pope of Rome went against Ethiopia, who was a member of the League. We today, the United Nations was given a perfect instruction by His Imperial Majesty. That is why President Kennedy was assassinated, because when His Majesty came and addressed the American people and they saw the sovereign divine words of this little man from Ethiopia, the United Nations Charter was actually inspired by him from the African Union, the OAU. And the United Nations, just as the League of Nations then, has failed the human race. They've failed the world, the nations of the world, because America and China, as the nuclear power, to keep on undermining the United Nations.
My brother, and that is what we know. Israel.
Well,
you
as we know,
Israel undermine everything as well.
As he says, those who call themselves Jews and are not Jews of the ancient Israelite descendancy and were given land that belonged to the indigenous Philistine that you currently refer to Palestine, we know that within that border, the so-called Third World War is going to rupture, because within that zone, the Temple of Solomon, which the so-called Zionist Jews of European wants to rebuild Solomon Temple, when the Muslim is already built their mosque upon it. So we know there's going to be, so what you're seeing in Israel and what Israel is doing on the West Bank, that is already written in our prophecies and revelation, and it must be fulfilled. Just like how the secrets of European, what they've been doing all these years, why they've been telling us that we must be doing them, and they are the so-called peacemaker of humanity. Just like America, who's anytime there's any infringement in anywhere, the CIA is sent in, not to create unity, but to create disharmony.
Yeah.
So America and the American people who call themselves white supremacists, you are responsible for the 21st century mess that is confronting by all nations. Because we do not forget Mr. Kissinger, Henry Kissinger, what Henry Kissinger policy were in the Middle East and the Far East. So my beloved brother, we know the sins that the Jacobean, whether they're European Confederate States or whether the American who tells the world that we have a dream. We have a dream. But whose dream? Not the black man dream, not the Indian indigenous dream, but the white supremacy, Jacobean, Zionistic dream.
And unfortunately, that dream does not include us. I gave some information. I gave some information out about the independent scientist and researcher, Michael Adams. Michael Adams came to my attention last year when they were talking about after 2 years, 3 years of the Flint, Michigan water crisis. And he was talking about why are some of these things happening in African communities, in American African communities, affecting African people. And so he has a documentary that if you go online, and it says that the title is The Science Agenda to Exterminate Blacks. The Science Agenda to Exterminate Blacks. And we're not just talking about America. This agenda is to exterminate us off the planet.
My brother, can I interject for 1 minute on that? Because that's a very serious point. And I'd like to tell you, Donald Rumsfeld, has taken his money out of oil and put his money into water. Now, what in the long run, people are going to have to pay for their water in America, like the same thing in South Africa, they're going through problems with the water business. Now, Donald Rumsfeld has taken all his money out of oil and put it into the water dams and all that.
So, my brother, what you're talking is a very poignant message. It's not just in America they're going to start to withhold the water. It's worldwide.
It's worldwide.
Worldwide, because it is a resource what a lot of these countries, these Western countries, it's another resource what they haven't really got.
And to me, the Europeans particularly, because honestly, if you look at this madness that we're experiencing, who has done this is Europeans, Caucasians. Oh, yeah. They have done this. They have messed up the ecology. They have caused climate change. They have done this. And so if there is an issue about water, instead of saying we're going to put a lot of resources globally into trying to make sure that human beings have water. Water is essential for life. But yet there are some Europeans who are calling for water to be as a commodity, to be traded, and to be for you to buy water. This is madness.
My brother, we've been ripped off in England because of the water companies. The water companies have turned private. Since the days of Maggie Thatcher, she sold out the water companies. We used to pay for our water through our rent itself. The council stole the money that the people were paying their water to the council when they should have been paying it to Thames Water. Mm-hmm. It went to court. Yes? 14 years people have been paying their water to the council instead of the Thames Water Company. And the council have lifted the money. And they're trying to offer people in poor areas where we live a compensation of £400 to £600 when they have been paying for their water for the last 14 years and being ripped off.
Wow.
Now, I'm telling you, our politicians over here, you would call them aldermen. We will call them councillors, yeah? They are lying in bed with these corporations. They are selling our poor people's houses, their land, their poor people's houses, because there is such thing as local housing where people don't buy their housing over here, they rent their housing. Mm-hmm. Our own black politicians have gone and taken backhanders, sold land, yes, poor people's property to developers. The developers have been sitting on the land until the prices go up, and then they put plush suites. Yes? They put plush, they will call them penthouse suites, where we cannot buy. And now we can't buy them. They are forcing our children out of the area because these rich people come in buying these penthouses.
We're getting some feedback, family. If you can, if I don't mute you, if you can mute yourself so we can all hear each other. I think that would be best, if you can mute yourself.
I love you, brothers.
I have a caller. I have a caller, 267. 267, go ahead.
Can I call you back? I'm in the middle of something. Can I call back?
Sure you can. Call back.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let me go back. Let me get Paul in on this conversation. Brother Paul.
Brother Ochi, you know, my greatest appreciation to you for inviting this great show, brother. You know, you have the people you need to speak, and I'm totally happy just to listen to this conversation. There's nothing more I can add other than these two great persons you and including yourself and Brother Franklin. You know, it's just what I'm hearing is what needs to be heard.
Right.
I'm just grateful for being able to facilitate and this, you know, along with yourself, this, you know, people need to hear the truth. And
exactly.
You will know some of the things you're hearing are happening in America. It's a world operation, and we need to treat it like it's a world operation. That's the way we need to deal with it.
Exactly.
We can't keep pointing fingers at each other, which they want us to do. They want us to point fingers at each other and scream at each other as if to suggest that we are our own worst enemy, which in truth, the problem is emanating from a bigger source, and we need to recognize that, and therefore we can deal with it. But if we keep pointing fingers at each other and not recognizing the real problem, we'll never be able to solve the problem. So this, what you're doing right now, and hopefully it can continue and grow, is one of the solutions to our problem, and it's communication.
And you're most definitely correct. Brother Brother Frank, you got something to add?
Yeah, the brother is so true about that. Recently, a couple years ago, one of the Rockefellers said that the worst thing that's happened to our world with the Internet. He said the Internet is going to destroy our world as we know it. And the reason why the Rockefellers said that, because they like to control the narrative. They like to control the information. So our ability now to communicate like we're doing, this is power. It's very important that we continue to communicate, share information. Because what the white elites do, they impose their self-serving narrative upon the world. We must create our counter-narratives, you know, to encourage our people, to encourage critical thinking, so our people change when their mindset change. And that's why this show is so important. So I agree.
Malik Shabazz, El Hajj Malik Shabazz, Malcolm X said, we don't suffer because we're Baptists, Methodists, Episcopalian, Muslim, agnostic, Jehovah's Witness, whatever. We don't suffer because of Omega Psi Phi or any other fraternity or sorority or NAACP or Urban League. No, we suffer because we are African people. We don't suffer because we're American, Caribbean, in England, Nigerian, Ghanaian. We suffer because we are African people. And an entity, Europeans, who are imposing themselves on us, who have been imposing themselves and have been attacking us. We have been under severe attack well over 2,000 years. Read Dr. Chancellor Williams' book, The Destruction of Black Civilization. Brothers, we must continue this dialogue. We must make each other aware of what's going on. Brother Lone Wolf.
My brother, I'm going to land soon, so I'm going to land on 2 points, and I will be calling again because I'd like to tell you the education system of how our children are being hardwired over here to turn against their own mothers and fathers.
Mm. Yes.
That's for another day. But
no, it's happening here too in the U.S. It's happening here in the U.S. also.
The last thing I will tell you is that my mother was a revolutionary, and the first word she showed me was, you must tell the public, before you was, I am, and
sure,
will always be. I wrote the book down and put it down for you to read, which means that the Caucasian come from me. I made him. Yes? It's me that made him. He didn't make me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes? I casted him out from our tribe. He didn't walk. We casted him out.
Mm.
So we had to cross the cold lands, get a straight nose, get thin lips. So as you say, tell your children, but make sure they tell them, before you was, I am, and will always be. For I writ the book down to put it for you to read. We are the first, and will always be the first. My friend, please, a blessed morning to you and to everybody in Uncle Sam.
Right on, Lord.
We will call again.
Oh, please, stay on the line with us. My good brother from Jamaica. Go ahead.
Thank you.
My beloved brothers. Our beloved Paul, whilst we were doing our broadcast in the UK, he declared a think tank. I engaged it, supported a think tank that is based upon the African-centric minds, both from the African continent and both from the Caribbean. Because right here at our footsteps, my beloved brother, Jamaica and the Caribbean is being taken over by the dragon. Every morning on our news locally, another shop of the Chinese with so many goods of so many so-called poor quality. The goods that they're serving, the Chinaman is now coming to Jamaica. He's not just bringing in goods that made from China. He's now remaking the goods that were made in Jamaica, but they're using the most dreadful substance to make them. This morning, on our morning broadcast, we are now learning that many of the medicine that is being sent over from China actually has poisons in it.
Mm.
So you see, we're right here in the Caribbean. We know that without communication, which is unprecedented, this has never happened between the African family in the past 500 years of our history.
Yes.
And this international global think tank, we are part of it already.
because this is what we're doing. Communication is the key. Educating our children is so vital. And what is happening in Jamaica? As you know, Marcus Mazaya Garvey and all our national heroes were under a criminal. We have finally got our Jamaican government to fully exonerate all our national heroes. So the reparation motion, the Windrush, and what took place and what we impacted upon the American continent, this is the time. We're in the right time. That's all I can say to my brothers. You know, many talks about weapons of mass destruction. Remember this, African. The incarnated spirit that was put into us was to be the light of civilization, to bring tribal man to a civilized reality by recognizing the deity of the almighty creator that create all things, including man. That incarnation doesn't die, my beloved. It lives forever in the black skin of the black man. We are now in a period of unprecedented historical, because the super state of Africa, neither the dragon and certainly not the beast can stop her.
We're going to take a break, my brothers. We're going to take a break, and when we come back from the break, we're going to continue this conversation. This is a very serious and deep conversation. I was going to go somewhere else earlier, and I'm just so glad that Paul, Brother Lone Wolf, my good brother from Jamaica, has called. You're here with my co-host, Brother Franklin Jones, the Black Matrix, the black people of the Black Matrix. Check out the Black Matrix. Go online. Check out the Black Matrix. We're going to be right back. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. In fact, I'm going to be proposing some things when we get back, so you want to stick around to hear this dialogue. Be right back.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother,
I dig it.
Stop right on.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on? Talk to me, brother, so you can see what's going on.
they used to be. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Oh, mercy, mercy me, mercy. All things and what they used to be lost. Oil wasted on the oceans and upon high seas. Fish full of mercury. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Our things ain't what they used to be. Lost my radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby by the night. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Our things ain't what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more we use from sand? Can't you stand?
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradio.com. We have a very serious discussion going on here. My co-host, Brother Franklin Jones, is with me, and Brother Paul from the UK, and my good brother from Kingston, Jamaica, is also with me in this discussion. And you too can be with us if you dial 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. This is what I'm proposing, and I've been proposing this for some time, that we need to have a serious global conference on Pan-Africanism. By that I mean, if you're not serious about Africans repatriating, if you're not serious about African independence, African self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty, if that's not in your heart and in your mind, don't attend. Stay where you is. But if you're serious about it, we need to come together to make a plan of attack for us. And not that we present it to anybody but us. Because around the world, we are under attack around the world. And so this plan, this serious Pan-Africanism, as Dr. John Henry Clark says, we must develop a dynamic Pan-Africanism. It must be spiritual, technological, and cultural. The technology, many of us, and there are some of us who are very astute in the technology, know how it is used and how it is used against us, that we need to be able to use it and benefit for us. Spirituality. I go back to what Malik Shabazz, Malcolm X, said. He is a Muslim. That is his religious philosophy. But when he comes to the table to discuss who has been affecting us, the problems that are happening to us, if I start to talk about Islam and you're a Christian, we're going to have conflict. So we need to leave the theology, the religion, put them in your back pocket. Leave them at home, because the main discussion is what is happening to African people and how we can come together to change that dynamic, regardless of what religion we are or political philosophy. The bottom line is that we are one African, and we must think and prepare in that way. So if we can do this, we can save ourselves. If we don't do this, we truly are doomed, because the plan to eliminate us has been in effect for some time. It's been in effect for some time. And so regardless of where you are as an African on this planet, you feel that effect. And so we need, in fact, once again, I'm relying on the spirit of El Hajj Malik El Shavaz. He said, Africans will never be respected until Africa is in control by Africans. Africans globally will never be respected until Africa, the continent of Africa, is in control by Africans. And that is fundamental. That's why globally, everywhere we are. Now, you know, here we're talking about the situation in the UK. Now, here these brothers and sisters have been in the UK for a long time. In fact, many of them were brought there to help clean up and after World War I and II. Many of them were brought there, and they grew up there. They were born there. But now this government, Theresa May's government, and really it is the government of Europe, and it's the government of this country. What you're seeing and what you're witnessing is fascism, is European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege to the nth degree, saying if you can't produce documentation, you're going to be deported. Here this is in this country, they're dealing with the DACA. People. These are young men and women who have migrated here, and they were born here. Their families, some of them came here even as a young child, and now they're saying, we're going to send you back to Mexico. So what you're witnessing is a tightening up of European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, which is a global phenomenon. So I think that what we must do is we need to have this conference. We need to have a global Pan-African conference of Africans on the continent who are serious, not the despots, not the neo-colonialists, not these Negroes, not the people who will go up to England and smile and grin in Queen Elizabeth's face. I ain't talking about them. I'm talking about warrior brothers who have the warrior spirit, brothers and sisters who have that warrior spirit, who understand the dynamics that are happening to us globally and are willing to make the sacrifice for us to come together to plan for our own and do things for our own.
And those that are filled with love for their people, so much love for their people, they're willing to die for their people. Those that are leading me.
Yes. I'm sorry.
My beloved brothers.
Yes, go ahead.
Hello, brother.
All the words you've just said, every single word, my beloved. We are perfect, harmonious within those. I myself here, I think I should introduce myself. I am Ras Ho Shing. I'm a member of the National Council for Reparation. I'm also the representative of the Ancient Order of Rastafari, that deals with the Ethiopian position from the very time of creation. We have maintained a sovereign state. As we well know, my beloved, over the last 2,000 years, the continent itself was enslaved. So when we speak of Ethiopia, it was only Ethiopia was a free state as being members. So therefore, many of the works, including the African Union, the Organization of African Unity, the Ethiopian World Federation, which we are also a member of the Ethiopian World Federation, which I would like to remind our African family, the purpose of the Ethiopian World Federation was set up for the repatriation and the rehabilitation of the enslaved Africans that was enslaved by the Europeans. So the Ethiopian World Federation, with its own constitution, have a sovereign legitimate right to declare, just like the Jews, the Jacobean Romanic Jews of Europe, declare themselves to be descendants of Israel and was given the Philistine land, Palestina. We as Ethiopians, my beloved, we have that same right. And we do not need to steal no land because our king created Shashamani to show the rest of state of Africa what we had to do as a continent in order for the restoration and the repatriation of our African people that was totally enslaved, emancipated, and completely subjugated under the Jacobean European, which their neo-colonial communists, their neo-this and their all neo-isms and schisms. So we, in this celebration of the visits of the Imperial Majesty of 66, all the Rastafarian mansion, as you know, the Rastafari movement in the latter part of the 21st century has been the vanguard of obtaining the legacy of Ethiopia, Africa. So what we're doing here, we are gathering all mansions to let them know that the Ethiopian World Federation is the centralized organization that is now thinking with other Africa-centric groups, including the Pan-African, because we need each other
Ashe.
In order to come to the final continental plan. So everything you say, my brother, it is like angel words spoken. And we're very much in it because, as we said to you, we ourselves went to England and we've engaged that diaspora, both the African and the Caribbean region. Who we was waiting for? The Americans to come in because, as we said, our eccentric links to the American development from the enslavement of plantation right through Abraham Lincoln's declaration. Jamaicans and the Caribbean has played a very important part, not least Marcus Mazzaia Garvey, the great philosopher that did not think in the square box as an enslaved, but was a free-thinking African that inspired the whole liberation, all the Pan-African movement, you name all of we, all of us. And when we go further into our history, we come up with Brother Taki. They keep on writing the story of the Maroons. But just like how there was no Ararax occupying Jamaica, because the Caribbean was always occupied by the African before they were wiped out. A new African was brought in to make it look that we are just recent into the Caribbean.
We have a caller.
Let me know. Yes, hold, my beloved.
Hold that thought.
And what is happening?
Hold that thought, because we have a
spirit of our ancestors is talking to brother, true brother Franklin. It's now speaking to brother Paul and many and many ones in the European region, in the Americas, because everything of the sins that they have done, it's now being revealed. How can you admit that you looted the churches of Ethiopia by the British Army, all our treasury in your museum, and also what you cannot understand, you lock them up underground in your vaults, and you're telling me you're going to lend them back to Ethiopia?
Yeah, you're going to lend them. Ain't that a damn shame?
Yes, yeah.
So these are the kinds of things that we're talking about. How can you tell me that the African continent is a poor nation, but yet it enriched both the beast and the dragon?
Yes.
Because we must not forget, I am not racist because the Ethiopian cannot be. But when a man take on the nature of a beast or a dragon, we know what that nature means to the lion. So we know that who has been in his culture expressions all over that he declares himself to be the dragon. We know it was you that gave the beast the gun and the powder.
That's right.
And since then, the beast went all over, subjugating all indigenous cultures, including the American Indians,
the Africans and the Indians in India. Because if you look at the history of the China behind his Great Wall, what the Chinese has been doing in the East for this last 100 years. Remember, my beloved, China and Great Britain signed a treaty over 100 years ago that created Hong Kong. So it's not just now that the ancient treaty of Rome has been administered through the dragon of the East that subjugated indigenous people within that region of our continent. And we have the beast of the West. And so long that nature is amongst humanity, there can be no world peace and no harmony. His Majesty reminded us, my beloved, that the solutions to African problems is still within the continent. And he further emphasized, when righteous Africans come together, the rest of the world will come to order,
Ashe.
My beloved one. So you see,
Ashe.
It's a very deep spiritual battle. It is not just a physical, because while we're spiritually connecting, the physical manifestation of the works of communication and action must represent the spiritual incarnation. So without apology, we here in Jamaica in this April, to commemorate the visit of His Imperial Majesty, that declared that Ethiopians and Jamaicans are not just recent relations. We come from ancientry, because the line between Ethiopia and Jamaica, 18 degrees north of the equator, is the same divine line. That is why Jamaica has had such influence in the 21st century, but yet we are just an island supposedly killing and murdering each other. While 95% of our people are African blood, not descendant, pure African. The other 5% consists of the Jews, the Arabs, the European, the Chinaman. All those others included in that 5% that has complete control upon our land. That is why the Spanish is buying up all our seashore. Jamaican doesn't have access to our own seashore. The Chinese has now come in, the dragon, and he's taking all over all the commercial zone and filling it with his Chinese rubbish. Not only is he doing that, he's now creating another economy within Jamaican economy so that our GDP can never grow.
You know, we have to understand that we're under a severe attack, and it gets stronger as each day goes on. We don't have time to hope and pray for another day. Our time has been passed, but our time is
at the
knot.
My beloved.
We have another caller. We're going to take this caller. 602, Brother Marcus.
Yes, Brother Oshie. Why, it's good to hear what's taking place on the phone line, Brother Oshie. I hear England, I hear Jamaica, I hear the United States, you know, we're going to link up Africa, and we're going to get our propaganda machine going, you know?
That's for sure.
We have the tools. Yeah, we have the tools. We have the tools. If we could speak in Spanish, speak in Portuguese, and spread it all over. Because that is, as you said, dissemination of information. Now, as you said, you see, next year it will be 400 years.
That's right.
That, you know, we have been. And so next year probably will be a good year to have that convention.
Yes.
You know, next year probably will be a good year. We can start working on that from now.
I'm going to tell you, let me say this, Brother Marcus, and all those who are listening, my guests here, and, of course, my co-host, Brother Franklin Jones, that whatever I can do to help facilitate that, I've been saying all along, 400 years, number one, is a long damn time. But the reality is we have been here 400 years, and we need to look at our condition, our situation. As a people, not that a few folks got some money, not that we're big entertainers and sports figures, None of that. We need to look at what is happening for the least of us in our condition. Yes. But also, more importantly, we must embrace the idea of Africans controlling Africa. We must embrace that and do all that we can to make that a reality to Africans, because we need to be players in the world, not the pawns that we have become, that every other European country or any Asian country can just do whatever the hell they want to do without suffering any consequences and take our resources. We need to call into question all those who have hurt us. But more importantly, we must stop hurting ourselves. We must come to understand the hidden hand that has been controlling us, the hidden hand that has been directing us, as my good friend, Brother Franklin Jones would say, that have been destroying our minds, that have been dictating a narrative to us that pretty much makes us feel less than human. And pretty much makes us believe that we cannot trust each other. We cannot respect each other. We cannot work together. You see?
It's the same narrative that's causing the violence in Jamaica. It's the same narrative that's causing the violence in England. You know. So you are correct. It's the same violence, the same narrative that's causing the violence here in Memphis, Tennessee, that I'm living. You know, so
and also in South Africa, in Soweto.
Exactly. So we have to get our propaganda machine going. You know, we have to get the word out, because that's what's happening. You know, he has a big propaganda machine.
And see,
my beloved brother.
Hmm.
I just would like to remind you that next year actually falls into our 2012 calendar that we as Ethiopians still follow. And as you know, the ancient calendar speaks of a major change. That major change can only be when the African realizes the blessing that is incarnated in him. The greatest battle that the African has is within himself.
That's right.
Exactly. To know himself and to know the power that he has.
Exactly.
That is our greatest enemy.
Yeah.
When you call upon this global reasoning, I would love it to be, because it will ultimately fall into our 2012 calendar of the African nation rising.
This must be a must,
because we cannot go into the 21st century as an enslaved nation.
Right.
We cannot.
No, listen. Brother Paul, go ahead.
Yeah, I must remind everybody, look, we've got our propaganda machines. We are speaking on one right now.
Exactly.
And we have to acknowledge the work of those who set this up. Brother Elliot and the brother of the Black Talk Radio, I forget his name now. But Scotty Reed, we have to acknowledge these things, because we have our propaganda machine.
Exactly.
We have the tools. All the things what we say we need, we have, and we are doing it. But we just need to amplify it. We just need to organize it and centralize it. And that is the key. We must stop saying what we need, because we have it. The only thing we really need, I mean, if I take out your brain, what have you got? So the only thing we need is our minds. And from we have our minds intact, we have everything. Everything is possible. So we do have what we need. We just need to
organize it, centralize it,
and then execute it.
Exactly.
Go ahead, Brother Marcus. Go ahead.
Well, you know, as I said, I definitely like this combination. You know, it's a definite needed combination, because this is the solution. You know, and as the brother was saying, we here, especially here in the West, we have a physical, point to play in the liberation of Africa. We are the most technologically advanced Africans. We have the capital to make that connection. Yes, we have to make that connection with the motherland. We have to get that economic foundation set up, because without the economic foundation and the culture, we can't do anything. So we got to put those things in place. And with programs like this, I know definitely we're going to do it. So, you know, keep on keeping on, good brother. I appreciate your program, and I appreciate the callers and listeners. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brother Marcus. Thank you for listening and always making a contribution. We have a caller, I believe, from the UK. Last digits, 39.
Whoa. Is it 92?
Yes, go ahead. 392. Go ahead.
92, Sam Gisagara, a friend of the close, a close friend of Paul Alpha Singer speaking. And it's the one who told me about your radio program. Because I want to intervene and talk about our responsibility to articulate our Africanness. Africanness, both spiritually, intellectually, and culturally, economic, and socially, for which we have been abused because we don't realize ourselves. We, in other words, the power is in the narrator, and we have been described by who we are, not what we are as people, a people. And therefore, we must try. In fact, it annoys me so much to see that I am trying to speak to you in English, you're in America, someone was talking in Jamaica in English. I would have liked to talk to you in either Hausa, Xhosa, or Swahili, African language, to which we can understand what African philosophy and ideas within the African and the proper black personality emanates from. And that's what we would have liked to say, that it is very difficult, but it is something that we must go back to educate ourselves in what we are, not who we have been about, described by the people who have conquered us.
I say.
We must try to conquer ourselves now by describing ourselves of what we are between ourselves and the God. And the God between ourselves and the God who created us. Not, we are not created, we are not replicated, artificial, we created or product of colonialism, slavery, and neocolonialism. We are a people, black and proud of it, as the late.
All right, my brother, thank you.
The late, black and beautiful and proud of it, actually.
All right. Thank you, my brother. Thank you for your contribution. Yes. Brother Frank, you got any comments?
Yes. I'm just so pleased today to get all these calls coming in. And I think we're on the right track. Brother Paul said, we have the ability to do it. We have the internet. Just do it. Like he said, we need to amplify it, clarify it, and put the message out. And the only way to fight propaganda, and this is taught within the white government school of psychological warfare, so you fight propaganda with your own counter-propaganda. And that's what we're doing now. We're fighting their propaganda with our counter-propaganda. And we must continue to do this, and we must continue to amplify it, build our audience larger and larger. There's a reason why the enemy fears our conversation. There's a reason why they killed Dr. King for speaking. There's a reason why they killed Stephen Biko for speaking. There's a reason why they killed Malcolm for speaking, because there's power in speaking the truth. And we must continually speak the truth. And we must speak it louder and louder and louder. We must amplify our message. Our message must continue to teach the truth.
And that's
very... In terms of what we need to really focus on also, another aspect of, as long as they're controlling the education of our people, that's the problem.
That's it.
Because they're indoctrinating our people for future generations. They're creating new Toms. They're creating a system of future Uncle Toms. Mm-hmm. They're creating Negro peas, as you call it.
Yep.
They're creating a system of people with black skin with white minds. We have
Brother Franklin.
Yes.
Do you know that the stock market of America wasn't launched upon gold, diamonds, and oil? It was launched upon the American slaves who became stock and bond. That is why America, just as how the British Stock Exchange, that was launched again, not based upon gold and precious pearls. It was launched upon the stock that became the bond, which is the black man. And so long as we continue carrying the name of the European, we are a very valuable stock. And when we get educated at his PhD, our bond price goes higher. So you must remember what started the American Stock Exchange and what started the British Stock Exchange. And you'll find it wasn't materials, resources, it was human stock.
Brother Ross.
Human bond.
Brother Ross.
That is why our children, who gets our name, our future generation, is their investment. We are still the stock on the bond.
Yes, and also, too.
That is what started the American Stock Exchange and the British one.
Also, too, remember, Brother Ross, what started Lloyd's of London? Lloyd's of London was started because to ensure that human cargo, wherever it was going to port from, taken from and going to port for. We have another caller. We're going to take this caller, 502, area code 502. Go ahead.
Yes, is that me, Brother Oshi?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Thank you very much. I just had to jump in there and say maybe share a couple of words, and this is my first time that I'm calling.
Thank you, and don't make it the last, okay? Please, thank you.
I will not. I have been listening to your show, I think, for the last couple of months. I mean, really, time for awakening, probably more than that, but it's just, you know, sometimes we go through these times where we're learning,
right,
and try not to call. But I just had to jump in there because first, thanks for this platform.
Thank you.
And thank you for all that you're doing, and then everybody else on the call. And I wanted to start. Somebody mentioned speaking in African languages. I'm originally from Southern Africa, but I've been living in the U.S. really originally since 79. I came at the tender age of 17.
Okay.
So I wanted to just greet everybody in an African language, Dumela Mbahayetu, which is greetings, my people, our people, actually, not my people. I'd like to start with a couple of, maybe three quotes. One was, you mentioned the Honorable Alhaj Malik Shabazz. The quote that always comes to my mind is the one that where he said, and I'm probably paraphrasing here, it is a fool who allows his enemy to educate their children.
Yes.
Yes.
The second one is the Honorable Marcus Garvey's Africa for the Africans, and I know we hear that a lot, those at home and those abroad. And then the third one is Dr. Chancellor Williams' the white man being the perpetual enemy. This is one of those, you know, the U.S. is just in, to me, such a traumatic place to live in. But the best thing that happened for me was that before I came at the age of 17, I got to hear Dr. Khaled Abdul Mohammed in South Africa. He came, and I didn't realize who it was till just in March, because at that time he went by a different name. But he was speaking around South Africa and really telling everybody the history of our brothers and sisters who were stolen and kidnapped and you know, taken away. Without that information, I would not be on this call today. So I'm grateful to our ancestors and to him and to all of you who are speaking. We often complain that we need to do more and that maybe there's too much information. But I'll tell you what, without that information, it's been a long time. And I had been looking for him, but I couldn't find him after that name. You know, it makes a difference. At some point in our lives,
who were you referring to?
Dr. Khaled Abdul Mohammed.
Oh, Khalid. Brother Khalid Abdul Mohammed.
I'm pronouncing it. Yes.
Yes. Okay, I'm sorry. Yes. Go ahead, please. Go ahead.
Yes. So I'll go back to the quote about education and Malik Shabazz. The reason I brought that up is that, you know, these beasts, as this is the first time I've heard this term, and, it is a beast that's been trying to destroy our people. It's been going on for a long time. I'm 56 years old, and I don't have a problem sharing that. But I'll tell you what. I went to a Catholic elementary school, and you know, they were not teaching me that, you know, being African was the best thing, and definitely not you know, following any type of African spirituality. So that was my form, you know, that's what happened. And then from there, I went to boarding school, which was so-called English medium schools. And our parents were being just totally brainwashed into thinking that they had to put in their resources to send their children away. You know, this was boarding school where you only came home 3 times a year for about 3 weeks. And maybe in December, you know, December being December, you might come home for a month. The rest of the time, you were in boarding school with these terrorists who were just terrorizing our minds.
Yes.
You know, of course, at that time, everybody thought this is the best way to go. And then from there, you know, I came to the U.S. But the best thing that had happened was after, you know, for some reason, and I think the ancestors are always really talking to us.
I share.
Because Catholicism, where I was raised Catholic, it just never made sense to me. And then when I found out that I was given a European name at the age of probably around 5, because, and this is typical in Southern Africa. You know, you have your African name that your parents and everybody else at home uses. And then if you were, like, you know, baptized or whatever happens, and given this European name, you go to school and that's supposed to be the school name. So, and I never knew till I got to school that I had this horrible name. And I'm going to say that because I think even these devils don't even like that name, because I've only had it once in my 56 years of life. That's how bad that name was. Anyhow, and I didn't like that. So as soon as I finished elementary school, I decided, against my parents, my mother, God bless her. So, I mean, she's, you know, she's late now, but she was such a staunch Catholic, was not happy that I got rid of that name. And I think it's really important for continental Africans to know, because too many times they feel like they have to hold on to these names, these European names. We cannot do that. So I got rid of that. And then I was introduced to Sunni Islam. Of course, I didn't know any better, and then I picked up an Arabic name. But the good news is in 2009, I got rid of that legally here in the U.S. because as we grow and develop and learn, we have got to change.
That's right.
You know, we cannot just be stuck in the old, because this is what everybody is doing. But you know, to my story is a little bit long. I'm really excited that I've been able to get on this call. But the most important, right now, my biggest concern is our children. How they have damaged our people on the continent and outside. This is where I think we're going to have to put a lot of energy into, is re-educating our children, because we can no longer continue to allow them to be miseducated and misinformed and continue to have the hatred that they have, you know, against themselves and against us. Then they become a problem for the parents, but most parents don't realize where the problem is really coming from. You know, because the children become rude, they're disrespectful, they want to take the lead. And unfortunately, because this is how Europeans do it, their children start to tell them what should be done. And this, to me, is one of the biggest disasters that we're facing right now.
And you're right.
Is the children who came out of this miseducation, who are now being educated by Sesame Street and whatever other toxic media and social media. So, but thank you very much.
Thank
for
you,
giving
my sister.
An opportunity to say something. I appreciate everything.
Thank you for listening, and thank you for making a contribution.
Listening.
All right, thank you.
You know which?
Go ahead, brother Frank.
I totally agree with what she said about the names. In fact, when I'm in a company of my African brothers, and they're speaking to me and giving me their traditional names, and I'm saying Franklin Jones, it's humiliating to me, you know? My plan is, I'm planning on visiting Africa this year, and I will be giving an African name in Africa. That's my plan, you know? And I look forward to that. Because I never felt that the name that I wear is my name, the name Franklin Jones, the European name. My father was actually was African warrior in Haiti. And his name was Frank Louis Jean. And when he moved to the Bahamas, where they spoke English, he was the last to be hired and the first to be fired, because there was against racism against the Haitian community based upon the other Caribbean islands because of the Haitian revolt. So my father changed his name to Frank Jones, the European names I now wear today. But it's my plan today to get an African name this year.
Well, I went to a naming ceremony, and I got this African name that I have right now. And it was given to me by an elder in our community who saw the work that I was doing. And I think it's an appropriate name. And I had it changed legally. And let me just say this. I don't advocate name changes. I advocate mind changes. Because once your mind is right, everything else falls into place. Because what I'm doing as an African man trying to awaken my people, trying to elevate the consciousness of our people that I did prior to this name, you know. And so to me, I understand what you're saying, my good brother Frank. And I encourage that. And I do, because I think that's a good step. But what's most important, because, you know, there have been some of us who have been given some beautiful names, names with good meaning, but yet they have done heinous things to our community and to each other, you know.
Yeah.
So what's most important is that we develop the kind of mind that we need to have to purge ourselves of this mentality that has been impacted upon us. I always like to say that we need to step outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have placed upon us to look at them for who and what they are. Not that we try to change them, because there's nothing we can do to change Caucasians. You can see that. That's a waste of time. They suffer from cognitive dissonances, but we change ourselves. In fact, here's another analogy I use, is that the Caucasian has put a vice grip on our mind. And if you understand that tool, once that vice grip is set, you just can't pull it apart. There's a knob at the end of the handle of the vice grip that you turn. And the turning of that knob is symbolic of acquiring knowledge of self, information, historical information, spiritual information, a good sense of who we are. As you continue to turn that knob, now you can release that vice grip and once again feel good about who you are and understand what you're up against. And brothers and sisters, we are up against a monster. Brother Ross.
My beloved.
Yes, my brother.
We've been fully, fully in agreement again with the words that you've spoken. But what I would like to do is to engage and remind our people. The first thing that the European did, as you says, was to destroy our mind. After destroying our mind, we were then given this new name. So although I am fully in support on what you say about the mind, but what you find that the name, because many of our people got European names, they automatically, psychologically look towards Europe. When you have your own ancestral name, it automatically turns you back to the originated of your name. That is a process now reclaiming your mind. So we see the both realities of it, but what we are impressing on in Jamaica, under the constitution of the British, it's the name that continue our enslavement, because many of our university graduates are some brilliant minds. They have brilliant minds. They're no longer thinking within the box. But the name that they continue to carry is a bond at the stock market value upon that person. So, you know, the name is very important, because if you do not know your name, how can you know your brain?
Ashe.
Ashe, my beloved. So
Ashe.
We must remember Sayno.
Yeah.
He first destroyed our mind, then he gave us a name. So by recorrecting the process, we must look into ourselves and know that's not our name.
That's right.
That is the process now to regain our mind of the continent. And I must add what His Majesty said. His Majesty said, man will search the page of history for solution to their problem, and they will not find any. Only when righteous Africans comes together,
the rest of the world will come together. So you see, the whole liberation is a spiritual one, right? It's about reclaiming the whole reality of what it is to be an African as we were created and incarnated with so much knowledge, with a divine spirit that gave us the position that we shared that with all other tribes that brought them to civilization. My beloved, all I can say, this engagement here today is one of the most historical broadcasts I've ever been involved in.
Well, I appreciate
We've
it.
We've got and you, the UK, we have Jamaica, and we have America. We have between the crown and the eagle, Jamaica calling.
Mm-hmm. And so
the crown is the British sovereignty. The eagle is America. Between the crown and the eagle, Jamaica is calling.
I say.
Go
ahead, Paul. Go ahead, Paul.
Not to forget our female interjection from South Africa.
Yes, Mother Africa. Great.
We have another caller.
And our brother who phoned in, who I know personally, is lived from Rwanda, and who knows the Rwanda president personally because he was a journalist, and he's a very important figure I talk to a lot, and he's got a massive amount of information, and I appreciate his phone call. But let me just say this. I must acknowledge the work of Scotty Reed. I've been following him for a while. In his army background and his telecommunication skill. Now, he's the type of person, along with Elliot Booker, Brother Oshi, Brother Franklin, Brother Rash Hoshin, and all of us are the people we need to make this thing happen. And what needs to happen is that the same systems we have here in the UK, which we do have, the platforms like Galaxy, if you will, Conscious, and some of the other radio programs, we need to link. We do need to link. This is how we're going to establish it. We do have the technical ability. Scotty Reed has proved it. We do have the organizational skills. Brother Elliot has proved it. We do have the presenter skills. Brother Oshi has proved it. We have the willingness to come together. Brother Franklin has proved it. I have proved it. And the callers who've thrown in have proved it. So we have all these things. We must stay in what we need. We do have them. But what we need to do is bring them together. And that must be the exerted effort to bring them together. And one more thing I will say, an experience I had on Friday, I won't go into it, but it reminded me of our effort. And I say, those of us who are talking today to reach back to our African brothers on the continent and ruthlessly, without compromise, re-educate them. And I say it again, ruthlessly, without compromise, re-educate them, because the work, the brainwashing work which has taken place on the continent is even far more severe than we even care to recognize.
I think we take it for granted. I agree. Yes.
I think we take it a little for granted that we, despite the fact that we went through the Magnamese and our Holocaust, we feel that maybe we were more brainwashed than them. But in actual fact, from my evidence, I think it's the other way around. I think they were severely, severely brainwashed. And we have to recognize that and ruthlessly, without no compromise, re-educate our brothers on the continent, because they are going through some things right now, which, you know, they do not have that type of mindset. It's been robbed from them. And we need to re-inject that.
If I may interject, you're absolutely right.
Certainly.
I'm going to say real briefly to finish. Some of the harshest attack I've received has been sometimes to my African brothers on the continent, especially in terms of religion. Their adamant, the brainwashing is so strong, it's incredible that I've encountered. Yes, you're right. Go on.
Brother Franklin, I mean, look, I don't know if you're aware, if you see that statue of Jesus Christ, white Jesus Christ built in Nigeria, then you know someone's lost their mind.
That's right.
So we have to really acknowledge that and deal with it uncompromisingly, because if we don't, then all we're going to do is patronize the situation, which is not enough to overcome our adversaries. So we have the tools, and today proves that we have the tools. And I acknowledge Brother Elliot for reaching out for me. And I must say that, you know, he has the mindset. Brother Ochi has the mindset. I know Brother Franklin had absolutely for his work. And I'm going to ask again, Brother Franklin, that you reach out to me, because what we needs to happen is your work needs to be exemplified, especially in the UK, and your, you know, what you're trying to achieve, because you know your strategy, the way you're trying to achieve it, that your material is right on point. And I think altogether, you know, we have the tools to overcome this little struggle. And that's what I said. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, brother, we're about to have a close. We only got a couple of minutes. Just a quick closing remark, Brother Franklin. You got something to say?
I will say this was, I agree with the brother who spoke earlier. This is a fantastic call and one of the most enjoyed, most enjoyable times I've ever had speaking on a podcast. I really enjoyed it. I'm happy to be a part of this. It's powerful.
Well, thank you, my brother. I appreciate you. I think you know that, and I hope you understand that, and as well as you, Paul. I'd like to get Brother Ross.
Yes, my beloved Brother Franklin and my other brothers that's calling, the sister in from South Africa. As you see, she's very familiar with what we're doing here in Jamaica. And obviously, this is the beginning of the great super state that we know Marcus has seen. Rise up, our mighty race. We have the capacity. We have the incarnated spirit of the Almighty. We have the intelligence. We have the scientific mind. We have everything that is needed. We do possess these things. And it is amazing that at the beginning of the 21st century, many of our people are still bewildered of who we are and where we are from. So we just try to strengthen this global communication that we're having, the global think tank that started in England, now engaged to America, and it is going to grow, and it is going to grow because that is what's happening naturally over in the continent and here in the Caribbean, in the UK, in the Americas. So we know we're on the right path, my beloved. So I'm going to say blessings in the presence of the Most High, Supreme Creator of heaven and earth. And in the blessed name of man that he created and endowed him with knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and a spirituality that made him to be the light of civilization, which are the African nations.
Ashe.
Ashe, my beloved brother. So
we close
I look forward to continue engagement.
Definitely, Brother Ross.
Myself and Brother Paul is working. What I want him to do is to send you the 9 points that was brought about in the UK.
Okay, let me do this.
American, so
let me do this.
We all have our points pointing together.
Okay, let me do this. Let me close this program. We close this program, but we close all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. And this program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the MIND, but the MINE, because under the feet of African people lies all the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do it out, and don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, this has been a great program. I thank you. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Blessed. This Friday's program is a tribute to Dr. Bobby Wright. It is a rebroadcast, a tribute to Dr. Bobby Wright, the psychopathic racial personality, this Friday. And next Monday, I will play in its entirety the science agenda to exterminate blacks and develop some dialogue on that. So please listen on Monday for the science, for the agenda to exterminate blacks. Brothers and sisters, have a blessed and wonderful week. Peace, family.
Perfect love.